Okay, so it's like impossible to imagine modern life, at least here in the West, without digital technology just being like totally essential.
Yeah, I mean, right,
Like our
absolutely.
smartphones, the internet,
Yeah.
that's the basis for how we do like almost everything.
It really is.
From our jobs to, hanging out with friends, even keeping up with what's going on in the world. That article on HackScience.Education, I thought they were spot on when they talked about how like dominant these technologies have become for communication.
Oh, for sure. When you think about it, like the sheer volume of economic and political, cultural interactions that now happen through these tiny devices
Right.
and the networks they're all hooked up to, it's a pretty fundamental shift
It really
in how
is.
society operates. Yeah.
And that's actually what we're gonna, really dig into today. For you, our listener,
Yeah.
you've probably experienced this firsthand, right?
Absolutely.
We're asking the question, like, how did information and computing technology, or ICT, become so mainstream, especially with like younger generations?
Yeah.
We're gonna explore how our perceptions of these technologies and how we use them has like totally changed.
It's a fascinating evolution, and I know a lot of you are interested in understanding these big shifts without, like, getting bogged down in the technical stuff. And
Right.
we're going to try to paint a clear picture of that journey.
Exactly. Because, if you think back, there was this very specific image, right,
Oh, yeah.
of early computer users,
For
the
sure.
classic computer nerd.
Right.
We got to understand, like, where that stereotype came from. And, even more importantly,
Yeah.
how that perception has just completely flipped.
It's almost the reverse now.
Right.
Yeah, that stereotype is really the perfect starting point for understanding this whole transformation.
Yeah.
In those early days, much like how young people often embrace new forms of media, right?
Yeah.
They were also some of the earliest adopters of computers. However, the most intense levels of use were kind of concentrated within a pretty narrow slice of the population.
Right. And the HackScience.Education piece, they pointed out that
Yeah.
initially heavy computer use was mainly like, wealthier white males.
Yeah.
And so that computer nerd image, it wasn't like some random invention. It actually reflected the profile of who was spending the most time
Yeah.
with these machines.
That's right. And it makes sense when you think about what those early computers demanded of their users.
Yeah.
Like Landauer, he observed back in 97 that these weren't, intuitive out-of-the-box gadgets. They
Right.
required programming. Essentially, you had to speak their language, code. And this kind of problem-solving and detailed instruction, it tended to appeal to individuals who really enjoyed focused independent work, logical puzzles. Often, folks who might be described as more introverted and drawn to that kind of, systematic thinking.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. So the fact that you had to actually write code to make these early computers do anything, I mean, that meant
Yeah.
it attracted a very specific kind of person.
Right.
And as we mentioned, these like early heavy users, they also reportedly tended to have less interaction, like with friends and family, and weren't as involved in like, extracurriculars.
Yeah, precisely. The initial picture was of someone really deeply immersed in the technology, perhaps at the expense of other social engagements. But this image, it began to shift pretty dramatically around the mid-2000s.
This is where it gets really interesting because in 2005, the Kaiser Family Foundation, they released this study, and it kind of threw a curveball at that whole nerd stereotype.
Really did.
What were some of the key
What
findings?
was really surprising in that research by
Yeah.
Roberts, Foer, and Rideout was this discovery that young people who reported high levels of ICT use were also highly involved in a wide range of other activities. They were actively spending time with friends and family. They were participating in, extracurricular clubs, sports,
Wow.
holding down jobs, even getting regular physical exercise.
So the young people using technology the most were also the ones
Yes.
leading like active, engaged lives outside of it.
Right?
That's a huge
It's
change.
a massive shift. And the researchers interpreted this as, a really fundamental shift in how ICT was being integrated into young people's lives. It was no longer a niche tool for a small, isolated group. It was becoming this broadly adopted technology across, diverse segments of the youth population.
Okay, so what were the drivers like behind this huge shift?
Yeah.
What made computers go from these complicated programming tools to something that, like, just about everyone everywhere was using?
I think a crucial factor, and this is highlighted in that HackScience.education article, was the steadily increasing usability of these devices
Right.
over, you know, the preceding decades.
Yeah.
Think back to those early computers in the 70s.
Yeah.
As we said, you were essentially typing in, you know, text commands.
Yeah.
The input and output was limited to these like basic alphanumeric characters.
Right. Very, very text-based interface. You had to
Yeah.
memorize commands, and it wasn't exactly intuitive for the
Right.
average person just wanting to, you know, like write a letter or
Yeah,
something.
exactly.
Yeah.
Now contrast that with the early 1990s.
Yeah.
Suddenly you had the introduction of the mouse, you
Right.
know, these visual icons and menus on a graphical user interface, a GUI, and these
Yeah.
pre-written programs that allowed you to actually do things
Yeah.
without needing to write a single line of code yourself.
Right.
And that dramatically lowered the barrier to entry for a huge number of
Oh
people.
yeah, I remember those early GUIs. It was a whole different
Oh,
world.
yeah.
Suddenly you could point and click and things would happen, and it
Yeah.
made computers feel so much more approachable and accessible to people who weren't, you know, technically inclined
It did.
at all.
And the evolution didn't stop there.
Right.
By the late 90s, computers, they gained the ability to display all sorts of, you know, rich media,
Right.
high resolution images, audio, video, animations.
Yeah.
And critically, they could connect to networks, to the burgeoning internet.
Right.
And this opened up a whole new, you know, universe of possibilities beyond just running programs on your own computer.
And so suddenly it wasn't just about, you know, doing calculations or writing documents, you know, in isolation.
Right.
It was about entertainment. It was
Yeah.
about communicating with people across the globe, accessing this incredible wealth of information that broadened the appeal. Like,
Oh, exponentially.
actually.
Absolutely. And that leads us to the media landscape we see today, which is,
Yeah.
you know, overwhelmingly dominated by mobile devices.
Yeah.
Think about your smartphone, your tablet. These are incredibly portable, always connected, and just, you know, incredibly versatile.
It really is all about mobile now.
It is.
Cell phones and portable music players with like wireless internet access, it's just
Yeah.
everywhere.
It's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And this is where Stanley Schmidt's concept from 2008, which he called the digital melting pot,
Right.
becomes really insightful. He was observing how these devices were now offering multiple functionalities that previously required
Right.
completely separate pieces
Yeah.
of technology.
Okay, let's unpack that idea of the digital melting pot.
Okay.
What did he mean by that?
He was essentially describing how, like, diverse technologies were converging
Right.
into single handheld devices.
Oh.
Think about, you know, Apple's iPhone, as
Yeah.
the article mentioned. It's not just a phone, it's a high quality camera.
Yeah.
It's a notebook for jotting down ideas, a way to read books, check email, and of course, access this ever expanding ecosystem of apps for just about anything you can imagine.
It's crazy.
And as the article rightly points out,
Yeah.
any list of functions that we come up with
Yeah.
is almost immediately outdated
I know.
because, you know, new apps and capabilities are being developed constantly.
It's true. My phone does things now that I couldn't have even like
Right?
imagined 10 years ago. It's like
Right.
my primary communication tool,
Yeah.
my entertainment center, my GPS navigator. It's
Yeah.
crazy.
It really has become this central hub for so much of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's really, yeah, the core of the transformation.
Right.
ICT has moved from being these specialized programming tools used by, you know, a relatively small group
Right.
to these incredibly multifunctional devices
Yeah.
that now facilitate rich social interactions
Yeah.
for, you know, a vast diverse population.
Oh, yeah.
It's no longer about being a computer person.
Right.
It's about using technology as an integral part of how we connect with each other
Right. Right.
and engage with the world around us
Race.
in countless different ways.
So to kind of like bring this whole journey together for you, our listener,
Yeah.
we've seen how computers started out as these like complex tools, mainly for a specific demographic, people interested in programming.
Yeah.
But over time, thanks to, you know, increasing user friendliness and the merging of different technologies
Yeah.
into these mobile devices, ICT has become completely mainstream.
Absolutely.
It's woven into almost every aspect of life for a huge range of people.
Right.
Especially younger generations.
Particularly younger folks, yeah.
And the real aha moment here is that, like, that old picture of the isolated tech user, that just doesn't reflect the reality of today.
Not at all.
Technology in its current form is often a tool for connection.
It is.
For greater participation in, like, you know, social activities and the broader world.
Right, yeah.
It's not necessarily about, you know, withdrawing into a digital world. It's often about enhancing our real world experiences.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And on that note, here's a final thought for you to consider.
Okay.
With this continuous, like, blending of different technologies into single devices, how might the lines between, you know, various aspects of our lives continue to blur?
That's a good question.
What new social or cultural shifts might emerge as a result of this, like, ongoing integration going beyond just, like, the capabilities of the devices themselves?
Right.
Something to think about.
It really is. It's a fascinating question.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this deep dive.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
And we'll catch you next time.
See you then.